This is The Anything Show with Jean-Francois, featuring Andrew Benderton.
All right, Jean-Francois here from Vermont. Andrew joining me from upstate New York. Hello, Andrew.
Hola.
We have a great show coming up for you later on, Andrew, as if the show isn't happening right now. But you know what I mean. We have a special guest coming up later on in the show. His name is Bruce Campbell. Andrew, I don't know if you're familiar with the Evil Dead horror movie franchise. Does that ring a bell?
The Evil Dead is one of my most favorite of all time movie franchises. And Bruce Campbell, hello, daddy.
Well, your daddy, not only is he coming back for the new Evil Dead movie, but he is touring the country for some Bruce-O-Rama tour where he's just going to go to live theater after live theater and do some sort of like cult movie trivia interactive game show thingy. And we're going to talk about that later on after our conversation. So that will be pretty awesome for your daddy, Andrew.
I really hope that I can get tickets to go. I want to go so bad. So, Daddy, if I get to see you, big hugs.
Absolutely. But first, to keep the mood up, let's talk about my nausea. So, in lieu of the usual show preppy kind of show where we talk about nonsense topics, man, Andrew, this week has just hit me in the ass. So we're recording this on Friday, April 14th. I believe Wednesday, April 19th is when this episode will go up. So we'll kind of focus on the week of the 10th here. Starting Tuesday night is when it kind of all went downhill. I come home from work. I work now at this new radio gig in Vermont, and we had to have this wonderful women's health event that a bunch of us went to. I come home from that. I'm thinking that, oh, okay, I'm feeling nauseous because of this interestingly disgusting meal that I tasted, because it was like maple glazed chicken, which I thought was decent, and then it was like this very bland polenta thing, you know, like just imagine cornbread, but it tastes like a tasteless sponge, and that was this polenta thing. Is that what you call a polenta? Polenta?
Oh my God, that's so disappointing, John. But I've seen polenta. It doesn't look like it would be good. It does look like it's bland.
Yeah. So it was bland tasting. And in fact, my coworker, who's also black, Kwame, he was just like, oh God, Vermont, can we get some Tabasco sauce here? And he actually had like the waiters at this event bring him out some Tabasco sauce and some vampire sauce, because it's not really a meal unless you spice it up, Andrew.
You do. You have to add some spice to it. And something like polenta cornbread, I just imagine it's like eating a Mr. Clean eraser.
Yeah. Luckily, it was free food and I was hungry, so I got through it. So I'm eating the food. I make the hour and 50 drive home. And, you know, I start to not feel well as the night goes on. I have trouble sleeping. I get some nausea going on. I wake up hella nauseous. Wednesday morning, wake up hella tired because I couldn't sleep because of the nausea. So I'm trying to, you know, get all the basic foods in that they say you should eat when you're feeling nauseous. Toast, banana. I drank some Pepto-Bismol, drank some ginger ale to help settle my stomach. And it was, you know, meh. You know, I didn't really do that much. I took a shower. Meh. You know, I still was a gripey old bastard. And I'm thinking to myself, oh, God, I really should stay home. But at the same time, it's my second week at this new job that I have here in Vermont. And I really don't want to make a terrible impression by already taking time off because I'm sick, even though I work with awesome people and they would totally understand. So it was totally self-inflicted, Andrew.
Oh, no, John, you did a number two on your number two in your stomach.
Is that really a way to describe it? I didn't even think about that. That's great imagery. A number two on top of my number two. I think you've just built the ultimate poop pyramid in my stomach. I love it.
That's how I imagine it. It's just like all piled up in there. Your stomach is screaming.
Yeah. And speaking of number two, oh my God, you didn't want to be with me when I was driving to work that day. So here's the sucky thing about Vermont, Andrew. In Vermont, like, you'll drive, and a lot of it is open roads. A lot of it can become middle of nowhere-ness. And, you know, you pass by a bathroom. And of course, when you pass by a place that has a bathroom, that's when you don't have to go to the bathroom. It's when you drive like in that 20-mile open stretch before you get to the next bathroom space, that's when you really have to go. And in my mind, it's like, oh my God, because you've had that feeling, Andrew, when you've eaten something bad or drank something bad, and you're driving, and it's like, it's gonna come out. Like, I can't hold it in with my butthole any longer. It's gonna come out involuntarily. And yeah, go ahead. What was that?
You're prairie dogging it.
Yeah, I'm prairie dogging it. Yeah. It's that thing of when I'm driving and I lift my whole body up, like, like I almost get myself into a car accident, like lifting myself up, prairie dogging it, as you said. And you know what? It got to a point where I put myself in a situation that I put myself in before. I said to myself, you know what, John? It's going to be a while before you get to a bathroom. So here are your two choices. You can either take a poop on yourself and it'll feel absolutely awful going on the way to work. And of course, at work all day, like it'll smell, of course. Or you could just erase your dignity and just find some forest, some piece of land and just go squat in public in broad daylight there. And of course, I did the latter option. I parked on to the right side of the road, and there, I'm going downward on a hill, and there's a river there, and I'm, saying to myself, you know what? I'm gonna pull my pants down. I'm gonna squat, legs out, gonna poop. Whatever comes out, and it came out. And cars were passing by. I'm sure a few of them were like, "What the heck is going on?" But maybe I don't know. Maybe there are other people that are like, "Eh, whatever. It's Vermont. Stuff like this has happened before." Luckily, I had some paper towel to wipe off some stuff, and I put myself back in the car, continued driving, and went to work where I just felt like crap all day. Ironically enough, Andrew, I mean, have you put yourself in that situation where you really had to go and you just went in public?
Oh, I've totally had to do it. Now, I haven't had to ever take like a poop in public. Pooping, I think I'm a bit of a shy pooper, so it's kind of hard for me on that end. But I have had those moments where I've almost peed on myself, literally, and I had to debate. I'm either going to get out in front of a group of people and just empty my bladder right here, or try to hold it and then possibly pee on myself before I get to a toilet.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's scary.
And honestly, you and my fiance, Tony, you are the same people, because I gave Tony the same choices. Like, Tony, if you had to choose between going to the bathroom on yourself and going in public, what will you do? And Tony's like, you know what? I think I might just go to the bathroom on myself, because there's just something about like, oh, my God, I can't do it in public. And I get it. But I think there's a big difference between like, oh, you're going in a mall and there's a crowd of people and you're just pooping in the circle, like in the center of a crowd of people, and, you know, pooping on the side of a highway or a road in the middle of nowhere, where sure, you may have a car or two passing by, but most likely they're just rooming by getting to where they need to get to, and they most likely won't care about you. So I'm of that person where it's like, hey, if I got to take nature's course to get it done, then I'm going to get it done. And I feel like, this being my third or fourth time pooping in public like this, I will be a very great caveman someday, Andrew.
I mean, John, the way you described it, that you pooped by a river in the forest, it sounds so scenic and serene. But then every time it's like, okay, this is really happening. You're pooping outside. And it sounds enviable. I can't lie.
Yes, I'm one with nature. Poop with nature. I make love to whoever wants to make love with me in nature. And my clothes are made out of bearskin and drumsticks. I don't know. I mean, so something like that, right?
No, did you open your car doors to kind of like create like a little buffer so people couldn't see you clearly?
No. I mean, the way my car was parked to the side of the road, it wouldn't really have made much of a difference. I mean, it was like, it was not even, it wasn't your traditional highway where it's like the roads were all wide and spread out and fat and you had some space. Like, this was like narrow, middle of nowhere, rural Vermont roads. So even if I opened up my car door, it's like, no, I mean, there's still cars passing by who can see me in clear view. So I just kind of owned it and said, hey, you know what? Poop storm, here I come.
Look, you made it safe and sound. That's the most important thing. And I don't think poop attracts bears.
Good. I heard that period blood attracts bears. Am I wrong on that?
I don't think that you're wrong on that. I think it might be true. I mean, bears can smell blood, so.
Oh, thank God there wasn't blood in my stool, if you know what I'm saying. God. So, yeah, I felt like crap at work all day. Oh, my God. Oh, so one of the interviews that I do for this podcast, Andrew, I felt so crappy once I got to work. Like, I planned to do this interview, like, via Zoom on my phone from my car before getting into work. But my body would not let me. So I just said, you know what? Looks like I'm doing this interview on the toilet. And unbeknownst to this person that was interviewed, I did the entire interview while on the toilet, letting out some sharticles.
Oh, that is so good. That is a story that's going to go down in history, John.
Something else went down in history on the toilet, if you know what I mean. Oh, God, yeah. So I felt like crap at work all day. I was saying to myself over and over, like, oh, I should have stayed at home. I should have stayed at home. Because, you know, the kind of job that I do, it's very people-based. A lot of people asking me to do things for them. And when you're not feeling well, when you're feeling nauseous, you want to be away from those kind of people. So it got to a point where I left work early. I think I left work a couple hours earlier than usual. Thankfully, my boss was very understanding. I went home around, I think I got home around 5, Andrew. I had some soup, watched some TV, went to bed fairly early with my fiance, Tony. And you know what? A good night's rest is really something that can cure nausea, because Thursday I woke up feeling like the most normal, wonderful man alive. And I think I carried that energy with me throughout the day until I had to drive home that Thursday. And I was eating one of my like regular salads, which just thinking about it, Andrew, just makes me nauseous. I don't know if you've had salad from Walmart.
Yes, they have had their salads before.
So the produce section at Walmart's not the greatest. I've been there before, but you know, and the salads were great. But now for some reason, I think of like, oh God, like that chef salad that I keep getting where it's like the ham and the cheese and the romaine lettuce, like the romaine lettuce and the tomato, like that's fine. It's the ham and the cheese and the absolute big puddle of ranch dressing that they include with it. Like the ranch dressing hits me. I'm not a big ranch dressing person. The creamy texture just gets me. Every time I think about that, when I'm nauseous, like I am right now, it just, I don't know. I just have this like I feel like I want to do that with my mouth and like almost throw up into a bucket. It's awful. And I have two more of those Walmart salads back at home in my refrigerator. And I think I want to throw them out at this point, Andrew.
I think you should toss them, John. If that is just the reaction you have just thinking about it, eating it is going to be worse.
Yeah. So have you had a bad experience with Walmart salads too? I mean, it sounds like you have.
I have. So I used to love getting the Walmart salad that was like a Caesar salad with croutons and all that stuff in it. And then I had one day, and this was 4 years ago. I ate it and I immediately got sick. Like 30 minutes afterwards, I was just vomiting and could not stop.
Wow. So it's not just me. I mean, this could be a cause of my nausea, the Walmart salads.
It could be. Those things are a risk.
Okay. Well, looks like I have to start over from the drawing board and just get like a salad from Price Chopper or something. I don't know, man. Oh, God. Well, I think it was late Thursday night. You know, I could, you know, which is last night as we're recording this. I again, felt nauseous, could not sleep. Had some Pepto, ginger ale, banana. Got maybe a little bit of sleep here and there. Woke up this morning feeling like crap again. Feeling like I want to throw up into a bucket. I snoozed my alarm many a time, Andrew. Tony, my sweet fiance, got me some more Pepto-Bismol. But since I ran out of the liquid, she got me like the leftover tablets that I got her a few weeks back when she was nauseous and I was taking care of her. You know, drank water, ginger ale. I felt a little bit better after I took a shower this morning. I ate some soup. Drove to work and I felt all right-ish. The heating issue that's been going on in my work building isn't the greatest, Andrew. Now, how is the weather over in Rochester, New York, where you are? Has it been as good as it is here in Colchester, Vermont, where it's been in the 70s today?
It has been in the 70s today and yesterday, like high 60s. It has felt beautiful. I'm loving this weather.
Yeah. And it's great weather when the inside of your building isn't like 87 degrees everywhere. Like for some reason, like I walked into a crap show like only 2 weeks into this new job here in Vermont, where like the production studio I work in, the radio station studio I work in, like it's like I'm literally reading the temperature on the thermometer and it's like 87 degrees. And I'm like, wow, that's not ideal when it's 73 degrees outside. Like, you can't work under those conditions, especially in a very busy job where it's high stress. You combine the stress and anxiety from that job along with the fact that you're too hot. That's a walking orgasm for nausea.
It is. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. And somehow I made it through. Thankfully, toward the end of this workday, as we're recording this, they had some people come in and fix the heating problem. So now it's, you know, we have cool air going through. I mean, oddly enough, I mean, you look at the thermometer in the radio station studio that I'm working in right now, talking to you, Andrew, it says 83 degrees, but it doesn't feel like that. It feels like 73 or 63 because I have my hoodie on. The difference between 87, which is what it was earlier, in 83. I mean, it's almost like summer and winter. It's insane.
Get out. Your body needed that relaxation of the cold. It's definitely helping.
Yeah. And because of the nausea, because of the whole heating issue, I didn't have like the appetite for lunch until just a little while ago, like around like 4 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon. And keep in mind, I ate breakfast like, I don't know, 7:30, 8-ish this morning. So, yeah, I mean, when you're nauseous, like, the appetite just goes out the window. I think I'm doing all right. I mean, thankfully, Andrew, like I kind of said to my fiance, Tony, this morning, like, it's Friday. I can make it through one more work day. And if I get nauseous this weekend, then at least I have the whole weekend to recharge. Right? I mean, am I right? Like, if you have a weekend with no plans and you happen to be nauseous, like, that's the perfect time to recharge. Am I right?
It really is, because even if I had plans, I would have to cancel them and say, I can't do this. I can't function nauseous. So for me, I can understand. That's definitely a good plan.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Well, hopefully my conversation with Bruce Campbell will be lifting up my spirits a little later on the Anything Show. But before we get into that, Andrew, let's talk about your life. I know you didn't have the greatest week this week, and I'm sorry about that. However, it looks like you have some positive updates on your Kia. For you listening who, if you don't know, a couple episodes or so ago, Andrew talked about being victim to that terrible viral TikTok Kia challenge where, I don't know, somehow through some USB contraption thingy, people can break into your Kia and, like, before you know it, you go into your Kia and it's like, oh, I can't drive it and my window's broken into and blah, blah, blah. So, Andrew, understandably, you are very pissed at that because that's happened to you a couple times and you've been sort of having a back and forth with the Kia people about getting your car fixed. And it looks like you have a positive update you want to share with us?
I do. So I got some positive updates. One, I actually have a date when they'll actually get the parts to fix my car. So May 10th is when they're going to get the parts to fix my car. So I'll probably have my car back by the end of May, which isn't bad. That's better than I thought it was going to be.
Okay.
The other side is Kia might actually pay for it to get it repaired.
What? And how much would it have cost you if you had to pay for it yourself?
$2,132.29.
That is very specific. And more importantly, bitch, you don't got that money.
Exactly. I am just a regular working broke person out here just trying to eat McDonald's in peace. And it's nice that I can actually get them to pay for it. I mean, we'll see if they follow through on their word. But it all started because I posted on Twitter that I was upset that I have to pay for this all over again, and I specifically tagged Kia. Then someone reached out to me in my DM, which I learned what a DM was, and they were like, hey, here's our service number at Kia. This is customer affairs. We need to talk to you because we want to help you out in this situation and talk about removing my post. So they actually spoke with the people. They asked me to send them all the documentation for what it cost, the police reports, all of that. And then they're going to make a decision if they're going to pay for the repairs and give me a rental that they pay for until I get my car back.
Yay!
Yes.
And what have we learned? The easiest way to get the job done is to shit talk the person or company or entity that you have a problem with in the first place. Like, for example, my Walmart salad thing. If I literally tagged Walmart on all my socials, "Your salads are awful," I'm pretty sure one of the big wigs at Walmart are like, "Hey, can we provide you like a year of free salads in exchange for you taking that post down?" Like, that's because, like, you know, social media is a big, big thing. It makes a big difference over people's business. So you, by shit-talking Kia the way you did, understandably, rightfully so, they're just like, "Whoa, whoa, 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 whoa. You know, we already have bad rap enough with the freaking TikTok challenge. Now if we have, you know, people shit-talking our customer service, no one's going to buy a Kia. So we have to take care of this gentleman right now." So you created a solution when they would not create a solution themselves. It's unfortunate. I mean, I wish that the way these people act in public is the same way they act in private, i.e. I wish that, you know, when you're trying to deal with the matter privately, that they would have helped you out. But no, I mean, you know, you did what you had to do. You're like, "You know what? I'm going to put a megaphone out there and say Kia is a piece of crap. And look what you got, Andrew."
Yeah, it actually did something. I am that person, John. You have to tell me if you've ever done it. If I have a bad experience with a company that I am spending money with, I am going to write you a strongly worded letter. And if I don't get the chance to write the letter, then I'm going to make sure I call you out in some way, shape, or form for other people to understand that this is what's happening and it's not fair. Have you ever had to do that?
Nothing I can recall in recent memory. In terms of a car, I'm very blessed with my Toyota Corolla. It has a really great reputation, so I know I've been covered on that. No, not really. I mean, I think that the closest I can think of is when I used to work and live in Iowa, I would always use this nearby laundromat, like, that was closest to my apartment. And one day, as I, you know, did my usual thing of like, "Okay, you know, I'm going to put stuff in the dryer and then I'm going to head out and do some things and I'll come back in like 10 minutes. I come back and the dryer is still going way beyond the time that I scheduled it for, and it ended up burning my clothes. And I think what I ended up doing was talk about it on the air, like, "What the heck?" And thankfully, you know, because it was kind of a small community and everybody listened to the station, the people from the laundromat who own it heard it, and yeah, they gave me a check to kind of reimburse me for the clothes. I mean, obviously they couldn't recover the burned clothes, but they gave me enough money so that I could buy the clothes that were now burned, if that makes any sense, to make up for the clothes that were burned.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. They reimbursed you at least for you to get something because it was their fault.
Absolutely. So, yeah, I mean, you know, you and I, Andrew, we seem like nice, well-meaning people. We don't want to get to that point, but boy, if we have to, we have to.
Yeah, I don't like being angry. I don't like being upset. I want the world to just be raindrops and Skittles. That's what I want the world to be. But when you get me to that point where I'm actually upset and I'm like, "Okay, now I'm annoyed and I can't get over being annoyed," that means I have to do something. I've got to respond, or I've got to go out there and say, "Look, you need to fix what you broke because I did absolutely nothing."
Yeah. And Webster Barnaby, one of those people that definitely got you to that point of anger, from the Florida House of Representatives. What the hell did he do?
Okay, so this man, Webster Barnaby, he is a Republican representative for the Florida House of Representatives. And he did something that really irritates me. I love comic books and I love the X-Men. And he actually tried to use the X-Men to spread hate. And it really upset me. John, are you familiar with the X-Men?
I am, yeah. I've seen the movies. I've seen a little bit of television shows. I've seen them in comics. And I think in our text message interaction, you had mentioned that you hate it when people use the X-Men for their hate speech. Is that something that often happens in the politician world?
Sometimes it does. I wouldn't say in the politician world always, but, you know, online you'll see it too. X-Men is, so if you're not familiar with X-Men, X-Men is about human society, and people are born with a genetic trait that makes them a mutant, where they have a special power, or they look different, or they behave in a different manner than what would be considered normal. And I'm saying that with air quotes. So X-Men is about these people who are born different who are then being persecuted and killed and murdered and assaulted and have their rights taken away just because they were born different than everybody else. And that right there is the premise. X-Men, you might as well call it a civil rights cartoon in some ways, because it talks about this group of people who are being persecuted for just existing. And Webster Barnaby, he said this at a meeting for the representatives. He said, "I'm looking at society today, and it's like I'm watching an X-Men movie. It's like we have mutants living among us on planet Earth." And he was referring to mutants as transgender people. And he also called them demons as well. He was referring to trans people who were there in that forum and also people across the United States. And this has to do with transgender rights. So he's saying that he feels like transgender people and queer people are mutants and they're living among us and that they're evil. In X-Men, whenever that rhetoric comes out, the next thing that you see is mutants and people of the downtrodden community being arrested, killed, and prosecuted all over. That is the premises of X-Men.
So does Webster get into why he views the transgender community as demons? Because, you know, from my point of view, from your point of view, I would think from any open-minded, kind-hearted person's point of view, these are people that simply... like, you know, cisgender people, they just want to be able to own their identity. They just want to be able to be themselves. So what about the transgender community does Webster find mutant or super villain-like? I'm very curious.
Well, Mr. Webster is a hard right Christian, I guess is how he defines himself.
Yep.
Because he said in the same message that he's not afraid to address dysphoria or the dysfunction. The Lord rebuke you, Satan, and all of your demons and all of your imps will come and parade before us. That's right. I called you demons and imps who come and parade before us and pretend that you are a part of this world. He has that much hate in his heart for people who are trans and queer that he views them as demons, and then he hides behind his religion to say that he is just doing the Lord's work.
Yeah, yeah. Again, another example of these two opposite messages within the Christianity world. There is that Christianity message of like love and acceptance and like anybody is welcome and we love you. But also, oh, if you're not exactly this kind of person, then God hates you. It's so contrasting. It's so ridiculous.
It is. It's terrible. It's ridiculous. It's poisonous. It's dangerous. It's statements like this that really are fostering that hate that people have for trans members of the community. If you're not aware, trans people make up the most murders of violent crime and assaults in the United States. Specifically, Black trans women are being murdered at an alarming rate, and nothing is being done to help any of them. And directly to Mr. Webster, who I want to call a coon, but I don't want to do that because he's more of an Uncle Tom. Mm. And my issue with him is not only did you refer to X-Men and try to validate your hate that you're spewing, you're failing to realize if you're calling the members of the trans community mutants, then that means you are the villain. In X-Men, if you are not a mutant and you're the person who wants to get rid of them, you are the oppressor. You are the person who is causing violence and harm to these people, and you're trying to say that you're just doing the Lord's work. I know God would not want you to have people killed just because they want to exist. It doesn't.
And I apologize. I don't know too much about Mr. Barnaby. Is he Black?
He is Black. That's another thing.
Okay.
You're Black, and you are spewing this hate. And if we're going to take it back to X-Men, part of X-Men, it was referring to Black people and the ideology of mutants, because Black people have been hurt, harmed, persecuted, killed, told they can't go places, told they can't complete anything, slavery. Let's go back to the basics. You, being the person spreading this hate, aligning with these groups that hate people who are queer and transgender, if it ever gets to the point that they start hanging people from trees again, you would be right next to the rest of us.
Yeah. It's unfortunate because, I mean, you and I, you know, both having Black religious family members, we know that, sure, while the Black race, us, you know, being a part of the black race, we know that feeling of being the minority, of being victimized, of being oppressed. But I don't know. There's just something about when black people stick to their religion, and I'm not saying all black people, but there's just that particular group that their judgment, when they pass it, it almost seems like, wow, do you not know what skin color you are and how ironic your judgment is coming off?
Right. It makes me just look at them like, you do realize that you are black. That has not changed. No matter how much you align with people who are spreading the oppression, you are still black at the end of the day, and your experience in this America will be just as bad as anybody else who is not.
Yeah. I mean, with black people being in the minority, with the LGBTQ people being in the minority, with Jewish people being in the minority, like, the hope is that minorities can stick together, can come together and say, like, hey, like, how can we help each other out? You know, rather than, you know, point the finger and do what lots of white people have done to us for a long time, which is say, oh, you're different, you're not normal, and this is why, blah, blah, blah. Like, you know, the more accepting we can be of each other, regardless of what we look like, what our sexual orientation is, what gender we are, I mean, the better, you know, so.
Yeah, it would be for the better. And I always look at it, I'm like, even this individual, this disgusting person who has proven that they just are terrible, I would still stand up and fight for you to not be assaulted by the police, to have your equal rights that we should all have in this country, because no person deserves to not be treated equally. And it's so angering because especially trans people, they are the ones who are out there fighting the most and who have started so many changes and movements to help people who look just like Webster Barnaby.
Yeah. Now, can I ask, what is the response to Webster's comments? Has there been blowback? Has there been protests?
There have been blowbacks. There have been protests to some of the things that he said, especially online. He did issue an apology, which, if you would like to see it, just Google Webster Barnaby and you can see his apology. To me, it is not an apology for anything that he said, because he really focuses on the fact that he referred to people as demons and not the fact that he spread hate speech. It's crazy when I hear people who say that, they say, oh, your behavior is demonic or you're a demon, but they fail to look at all of the horrible, evil things that they're doing in their own life. So I don't really believe what he said. It's not a genuine apology. And quite frankly, somebody like this should not be in the House of Representatives for any state.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And the same could be said for all of the people who are still against gun control after all the shootings that we've had.
Yes. I don't understand it. Y'all will protect a gun, but try to ban TikTok.
Yeah. And drag shows. Don't forget.
Going to a drag show would be an act of protest. Just wanting to go to see some queens have some fun.
Yeah. I hope the first drag show that I attended with you, Andrew, in Rochester is not my last one. I hope there's many more to come.
Oh, John, we're going to more. When I come there, we are finding the drag community and we are going out and being rebels.
Absolutely. And for you listening, if you don't know what we're talking about, we recapped the drunk drag show weekend in Andrew's home city of Rochester, New York. And I don't know, a couple episodes ago, look it up on the Anything Show with Jean-Francois podcast feed, so to speak. I love guys like Webster Barnaby. Like, it's always the guys with like the strangest, most goofy names that become like the most hateful people ever. Like, I don't know. I hear about people like Kent Hickenlooper and it's like, oh, that's a guy who's like from the KKK, who's pasty white and just hates the Jews, hates the blacks, hates everybody. Webster Barnaby, I mean, yeah, he's black, but I don't know. I just find it a common thread that guys with like really goofy names are just very hateful people inside.
They are. I feel like he probably got tormented in school because Webster used to be a TV show. And I bet you everybody was like, what you talking about, Willis? Because isn't that what?
No. So you're getting your small black child actors confused, Andrew.
Oh, I am. Oh, my God.
Yeah, yeah. So what you talking about, Willis, was Gary Coleman from Different Strokes. Webster was Emmanuel Lewis. I don't know if he had a tagline. But yeah, Emmanuel Lewis and Gary Coleman are two very different, tiny, black, adorable child actors from the 80s.
I am sorry to both of you. Oh my gosh.
That's okay. Gary Coleman is dead, so you don't have to apologize to him. Emmanuel Lewis is living quietly somewhere. I think he's in his 40s or 50s right now, so I think they're fine.
Yeah, works for me. But I'm sorry that I gave them a bad name with this guy, Webster Barnaby. Please, just go eat a sandwich with just, like, dog poop in it. Just do that.
Even better, the poop that I gave, like, right by the river the other day when I was nauseous, let's put that in Webster Barnaby's sandwich.
Oh, yes, that would be perfect. He can eat that and be happy along with everybody who spreads hate.
Absolutely. Well, if you have any commentary, you listening on the Webster Barnaby conversation, my whole nausea rant, which makes me nauseous just talking more about it, you know, whatever. I mean, let us know. I mean, we're on socials, facebook.com/TheAnythingShow. You could follow us on Instagram and TikTok at Anything Show Francois, The Anything Show with John Francois, also on YouTube. Andrew, how can people follow your socials personally?
You can follow me on Instagram at AJ, so it's AJAY Vandertunt, underscore, I'm sorry, there's an underscore in between there, and then on TikTok at AJ Vandertunt.
Wait, I'm so confused. So I thought it was at AJ Vandertunt on Instagram and at AJ underscore Vandertunt on TikTok.
Wait, did I say it in reverse?
Yeah, okay. You need to have, like, I've been meaning to talk to you about this, Andrew. I think you need to have the same username for both Instagram and TikTok, just so you don't confuse people.
I have to change it because I forget which one has the underscore, but if you just search Vandertunt, it will only bring up me.
Okay. And I tag you all the time in TikTok videos, so I would know. It's AJ underscore Vandertunt on TikTok and just at AJ Vandertunt on Instagram.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah. Are you ready for Daddy, Andrew?
I am ready for Daddy.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you look at a picture of Bruce Campbell, I mean, my God, the guy just looks ripped. He looks like he has a very deep voice. He is from the Evil Dead horror movie franchise. They're releasing a new Evil Dead movie. I believe the release date is like April 27th. We talk a little bit about that. We talk about his Bruce-O-Rama live theater interactive game show madness. So let's do it. Bruce Campbell coming up on The Anything Show. But before we do, Andrew, did you want to say something? I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, let's do it with chainsaws. If you see the chainsaw scene with him, he is so hot.
Oh, okay. There you go. do you want me to add chainsaws into my creepy outro going into Bruce?
I'm always in for a little chainsaws in anything, so let's do it.
Oh, my God. I don't even want to know what your bedroom activity is. It must be very violent there.
I mean, we put down Saran Wrap for a reason.
All right, here we go. You ready?
I'm ready.
Yeah! Yeah, you're so excited. By the way, are you outside? I heard some, like, beautiful NPR radio-like sounding birds in the background.
I'm not outside. I'm actually close to my window in my apartment. It is swelteringly hot, so I have the windows open.
Ah, gotcha. Yeah, so you had my heating issue going on there. Okay, here we go. Creepiness ASMR. Let's do it. Here we go. Chainsaws, yellow notepads, random blue pens. For some reason, a cable television remote control on my desk. So, I mean, you're obviously well known as a cult film favorite. I mean, people, of course, know you from the Evil Dead franchise. And then now, here you are. Coming to many cities across this great country of ours with the 22-city Bruce-O-Rama tour, where you're just going to have a live, fun, interactive game show experience with fans. Can you tell me what led you to make that decision?
I am now in the game show host phase of my career. I'm ready to do it now. As a young leading man, I was not ready for it. I wasn't seasoned enough. Now that I've been around long, I'm an older guy. Now I'm ready for the Wink Martindale phase of my career. So it's a chance just to do a live interactive game that a buddy of mine, Steve Sellery, came up with. That was a game show originally for the troops. It was just a trivia show for that. And I said, you know, you could take that and put that into my world and just change the questions. And we could take that to conventions. We could take it on the road. So that's what we're doing. We've polished it up a bit over the years, and we're going to make it a two-part evening. First part is the game show, Last Fan Standing, which is just kind of pop culture trivia. You know, there's no history or geography. It's all sci-fi, horror, fantasy, gaming, and we'll see how people do. And then we take a break. Then I'm going to do an extended intro to one of the movies from the past, one of the Golden Moldies. And it should be a fun evening. It's two parts and hopefully lots of laughs.
Yeah. And I wonder, how is it going from a more controlled environment like a film set to this live theater experience where it's very spontaneous? Anything can happen. I mean, are you kind of nervous or are you just...
No. That's the beauty of it, is that anything could happen and anybody could win. Because when you come into the theater, every audience member plays. You play on your phone and you vote on your phone. And so the first 20 questions are all multiple choice, and speed and accuracy matter. So whoever the four fastest and best get up there, and you never know who they're going to be. It could be a mousy little person or a big fast talker, and the audience will eventually start rooting for some of them versus the other people. So it creates a fun dynamic, and the live part of it is the fun, because I'll interview them and get to know them and, you know, hurl a few insults at the same time. So it should be a fun evening.
Absolutely. And the questions, I mean, they range from fantasy to horror to sci-fi, superheroes, gaming. Can you give us just a little taste of some of the fun questions that we are going to get at that event?
No.
Okay.
It's too secret. Yeah. No, they're too secret. But, you know, you're going to have Marvel questions. You're going to have Bubba Hotep questions, you know, because a lot of it, some of these questions actually tee up a story. So it's a little bit of a game show with a little bit of storytelling too, because some of these questions will be about, let's say, Spider-Man. And then I'll explain how pivotal I am to the Spider-Man series, you know, things like that.
Yeah. While we're here right now, remind everybody what pivotal role you did play in Spider-Man.
Well, I named Spider-Man in the first one. Without me, this billion-dollar franchise would be called The Human Spider.
Oh, really? Okay.
And in part two, Spider-Man is trying to get into a theater, but I'm the snooty usher who won't let him in because he's late to see Mary Jane in a play. I'm the only character who's ever defeated Spider-Man.
Wow.
Yeah. I speak the truth.
Yeah. Can you at least tell us the prizes that can be won at the game? Can we at least?
This isn't going to be bad. Normally, our prizes are kind of crappy. But in this case, we're going to give some swag from Evil Dead Rise, the new Evil Dead movie coming on April 21st. So they're going to get a lovely little package of some kind of gory swag.
And speaking of Evil Dead Rise, I've been looking through the tweets. It is trending like crazy as we speak right now. Can you talk about this fifth installment in this franchise? You know, let's just compare to where we were in the beginning of the franchise to where we are now. Like, what can we expect for big Evil Dead fans?
They're all a little bit different. The very first one was sort of a melodrama, you know, and its tone was mostly serious, but there were some wacky parts where people laughed because it was either too overly dramatic or lousy dialogue or crappy acting or whatever. The second one had elements of humor. We call that splat stick. A little horror, a little humor. And then Army of Darkness really was just, it's more of an adventure movie than a horror movie. And then Fede Alvarez from 2013 is dead serious again with pretty serious gore. And then the new one is completely, this is the one that's going to be the game changer for us. You get out of the cabin, there's no ash in it. You're in a whole new scenario. So it's really just about these Book of the Dead. There's three of them. And it's where these things pop up. So the newest one is in a high rise in Los Angeles with a single mother and her family. And it's going to get gnarly.
Yeah. You know, and you say that word gnarly, and I'm looking through these tweets, and a lot of it is saying that it's gnarly. It's nasty. It literally rips. It's a total gore fest. It's claustrophobic, grimy. I would like to assume that's the vibe that you guys were going for.
Yeah, I would just put all those words on the poster, just like that. Just single words.
And I've always wondered this about, like, the horror movie franchise. Like, what is it about getting as uncomfortable, scary, gory as hell that just appeals to people. You know what I mean? Like, because sometimes I hear about these horror movies that make people vomit in the theaters, but yet here they are. They're still coming to see it because...
No, it's cathartic is what it is. Is if you think your life is miserable or you think you have problems, go see a horror movie because those people have serious problems. And those people are being bitten by demons and their limbs are being pulled off and their eyes are being gouged out. And then you walk out of there and you go, oh, yeah, okay, I guess my problems aren't that bad. So it can be handy like that, but it's also communal. Because what I found from a screening we had at South by Southwest recently, there'd be a big reaction from the audience like, oh, damn, you know, like something was really gross. But then people will look around and they'll go, oh, thank God, it's not just me. They're all terrified. They're all grossed out. So it's almost like safety in numbers. You've got this little village of viewers that you watch this movie with. You kind of bond with them because you're all going through this together, communally.
Yes, and actually that was the word that I was going to point out, communal. Because personally, I don't like watching horror movies on my own because I don't know. It's not as fun.
Not as fun at all. With the crowd is where it can be twice as fun as the actual movie with the crowd.
Yeah, because like if I get scared by myself, it's like, okay, I'm going to get nightmares. It's not going to be pleasant. But if I'm like enjoying the experience with someone, getting scared with them, I don't know.
It takes the edge off. It takes the edge off. It's like putting butter into coffee. It just takes the edge right off the top there.
Exactly. You're scared, but you also know, oh, this is an enjoyable movie experience. So, yeah. Yes.
I'm very grateful that we got into theaters because, you know, when this movie was getting developed and written and producing it during all the pandemic crap, they had told us you're only going to stream. And we had to accept that. And we were kind of depressed by that because they didn't know the state of theatrical at that point. And so we finally finished up the movie and they had a test screening and our numbers went up so much from a previous rough version of the movie that they changed their mind. They were like, oh, we should go theatrical. And I'm so glad they did because this movie deserves it.
Absolutely. Yeah, I would say horror movies, action movies like Top Gun Maverick, Tom Cruise also fought for that movie to be in theaters. There are just certain genres of movies that you just need to see on the big screen. It's not as good on streaming.
Yeah, I mean, Avatar, you have to see it in a theater. Otherwise, why bother?
Absolutely. Well, Bruce, I know you got to go. Let me promote your Bruce-O-Rama. It's going to be a great live theater experience for anybody who is a fan of not just the Evil Dead franchise, but just in general, fantasy, horror, sci-fi, superheroes, 22 cities across the country. More information is going to be at bruce-o-rama.com. You'll be everywhere. South Carolina, Ohio, Tennessee, Georgia, Massachusetts, New York. You're everywhere. So
it's a big country. We know we can't get to everybody, but maybe next year we'll do the other half of the country.
Absolutely. All right. Well, Bruce Campbell, thank you so much, man. I appreciate you speaking with me.
Thank you, John.
The Anything Show with John Francois on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get podcasts. Join us on YouTube, Facebook.com/The Anything Show, and Instagram and TikTok @AnythingShowFrancois.